Rhonda said that you listen better if she brings food, so sorry I didn't bring any food today. But hopefully you'll still listen and hear what we say. But today's story that we read is a story about a banquet, about an invitation. So what I would invite you to do is think back about the last time you got an invitation to a party. Maybe it was to a wedding, to a birthday party, something you were really excited about. The invitation came in the mail, or maybe it was an email, or maybe it was even a call from a friend of yours and said, I'm having a party. So you write it down on your calendar, or you put it in your computer, whatever it is, way it is, stick it on your refrigerator, whatever way you use to remember that party. Because this is what this story is about an invitation. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. And so we're listening to Jesus' parables, and he's telling these stories. And so Jesus often taught in parables. These little stories that he would tell to try and help people understand things. Sometimes they were a little confusing, sometimes a little more clear, but it was a way he taught. But he often taught them for a specific purpose and a specific reason. There was something going on, and so Jesus told the story to do it. And so what we often have to do is set the context and say, what's the context of this story? And the context is all kinds of things. The context is the setting of the story at that moment in time. It's the setting in the book of Luke, and sometimes it's the setting in the whole Bible. And so one of the things we think about when we're reading these stories is what else is going on? And so in the story of the Bible, one of the things we find is a picture of a feast. And so in the book of Isaiah, one of the prophets, hundreds of years before Jesus, describes the end of time this way. Isaiah says this in chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. So Isaiah is describing what God is going to do at the end of time. And sometimes in Christian circles, we have a picture of heaven. And for some people, that picture of heaven is a really long church service. And for some people, that idea is not particularly exciting. You're thinking, that, I'm like, I can barely sit through an hour, let alone all of eternity. But what God says is, it's not just a church service. He says it's a banquet. And it's not this cheap little thing where we got a little bit, you can only take little pieces. Listen, did you hear that description of the banquet that God lays out? He says, the best of things, aged meat and fine wine, everything you could possibly. That's the picture of what heaven is like. That's the picture of what God is laying out. It's this incredible banquet where people come and sit. And as you think about parties, I mean, isn't it interesting how in nearly every culture around the world, celebrations and activities revolve around a meal? When somebody gets married, what do? You have a banquet, you have a celebration. When you have a birthday, you have a party. When somebody graduates, you have a party. All these things, and it revolves around food because food is so important to who we are. It's a reminder of our connection. It's a reminder of something we all have in common. And the other thing is, it's just good. I mean, we like to eat. I mean, there's something enjoyable about sitting with other people and eating together. And so God says, that's the picture of paradise. That's the picture of creation, is this great banquet. And so have that picture in mind, that the people of God have always had this picture. That's what God will do at the end of time. But then we zoom in a little bit in the Gospel of Luke, where this story comes from. And so there are these four books of the Bible that tell the story of Jesus. The gospel. So we have the gospel according to Matthew, according to Mark, according to Luke, and according to John. It's not really four gospels. It's one gospel according to four different authors. And so in Luke, each one of the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, emphasize different things. You see kind of different pictures. It's almost as if you had a group of people and you all witnessed the same event. We asked you to tell the story. Each of you would see something different. And then if you were telling a different audience, you might tell them something different. So if you witnessed something and you were telling a group of kids, you might emphasize one thing. If you were talking to a group of senior adults, you might emphasize something different. If you were talking to a group of people from another country, you might emphasize something different. So Luke is emphasizing a particular thing. But one of the things that Luke does, and that he emphasized a lot, is Jesus spent a lot of time eating with people. I mean, there are many, many times in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus is at the table with someone, where he's sitting around with people, and sometimes with the wrong kind of people. And so that's part of the thing. And then in this immediate context here, he's actually at a party. So chapter 14 begins. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee. So Jesus is at a table. He's enjoying a dinner with a Pharisee, so one of these religious teachers. And there's a controversy over he heals a man, and they're wondering, well, it's the Sabbath day. You really shouldn't be healing. And Jesus says, well, if your child falls in a hole on the Sabbath, do you wait till the Sabbath is done to get him out? And so Jesus heals the man. And then Jesus goes on to give them some lessons about humility. He says, well, who do you invite, or where do you sit at the table? He says, first of all, when you sit at the table, he says, don't take the best place, because what if somebody better comes along? The guest, the host moves you down to the lowest place. And it's a story about humility, but not just a story about social etiquette. I don't think Jesus is simply giving mismanners here about the way to get into a party. He's talking about what's our attitude towards ourselves and how do we relate to God? Do we try and put ourselves forward, or do we recognize our place? And in the same way, he tells another story, and he talks about when you're inviting people, he says, don't just invite the people who can pay you back, because that's the way that parties were given in those days. That you looked around, and when you invited someone to a party, it was almost an expectation that at some point they would invite you back. And so there was this kind of, you're choosing carefully and thinking, well, which people, and you didn't want to invite somebody who was poor, who was down at the bottom of the ladder, because you knew they would never pay you back. But parties were also a marker of social status, a marker of who's in and who's out. And that's something that certainly hasn't changed in 2,000 years. It's been a while since I've been in school, but I remember being in school, and when someone was having a birthday party and they're passing out the invitations. Or later on in high school, there weren't invitations passed out, but people were talking about who was having a party and who was invited and who wasn't. And parties were a way of establishing social circles. You were invited or you weren't invited. And it was the same way in Jesus' time. But Jesus is saying, don't act like that. Don't focus on who can pay you back. Don't focus on your social circles. But it's also a picture about what God is like. That God offers without the thought of payback. That we need to give up on this idea of bookkeeping. We tend to, as people, kind of run our lives based on bookkeeping. You know, we do things and we're waiting for people to pay us back. And he's saying that's not how God operates. Because the truth is, we can't pay God back. And so in the context of all these things, of this banquet at the end of time and this conversation at a table with the Pharisee about banquet stuff, one of the people sitting at the table says this. He says, oh, when one of those at the table, this is verse 15, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. I think part of what this guy is doing is he's trying to change the conversation. Because it's getting a little bit hard at this point. Because they're talking about being humble and not inviting people. And he can almost feel Jesus pointing his finger at people and pointing out all the things they're doing. And then he says, oh, blessed is one. And also what he's, I think, in part implying is, we're all going to be there. There's just going to be this feast and we're all going to be there. And isn't it going to be great when we're all there? And then Jesus tells the story. It's a parable, a way to reveal something. Sometimes requires a little bit of effort. And so we hear this story. And he said, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. And so there were two invitations that were typically issued in the days of Jesus when a party was done. And so the way it would work was if you were hosting a party, you would send out your servants to let people know there was going to be a party and to find out whether or not the people would come. And so you couldn't send out something in the mail. There was no emails. There was no bulletin boards you could do. So you would send out servants, and they would go to each person and say, hey, I'm having a party. Are you able to make it? You're invited. And the people would say yes or no. It's like, I'm having a party. Come on. Come on out to the party. My master's having a party. Can you come to that? And so the servant would gather all the RSVPs and know who was coming and who wasn't coming. And then go back and let the master know. Say, okay, here's who's coming. Here's how many people are going to come. And so then the master could figure out how much meat needed to be prepared, how much wine he needed to have, how much bread needed to be baked. And so he'd get the other servants, the other people in his household going, and they'd be preparing, and they'd be getting everything ready. And then because preparing meals wasn't a precise thing, you'd sometimes, I mean, now we know, like, okay, it's going to take 23 minutes at 400 degrees to bake this. Now you slaughter an ox, and you put it over a fire. It might take 8 hours, it might take 12, it might take, wait, you're not really sure exactly how long it's going to take. And so then what they did is, rather than saying, oh, come on over, and everybody sits around and they're all sitting there watching the food cook, instead of that, they would wait till everything was ready, and then the servants would go back out and say, hey, everybody, the food's ready, come on over. And so this is what happens in this story. Except that when the servant goes out the second time and says, everything's ready, it says, but they all alike began to make excuses. People who have been invited to the party, who've already said they're coming to the party, begin to make excuses. Well, I just bought a field and I got to go see it. Really? Didn't you see the field before you bought it? Please excuse me. Another says, well, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Who doesn't try something out before they buy it? And not only that, you've been invited to a party. What are you doing trying out your oxen now? You already said you were coming to the party. And then the third one, he said, well, I just got married, so I can't come. He doesn't even say, excuse me. It's just like, I'm not coming, sorry. And the servant came back and reported this to his master. And the owner of the house became angry and ordered, so he says, go out quickly to the streets and alleys and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, lame. And he says, okay, if those people aren't coming, we're going to find somebody, because I've got a banquet prepared. I've got all this food that I've got ready. And so the servant does that, goes out and brings all those people in. And then the servant looks around and says, oh, we've got everybody here, but there's still room. So then the master told his servants, go to the roads and the country lanes, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. So here's this story. And so, is it about just a guy having a banquet and some rude guests? Or is it about something else? The parables are tricky. And we're going to, in these weeks ahead, we're doing a series on the parables and stories of Jesus. Some of them are really, really hard. They're really hard to understand, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. And there are lots of debates about understanding the way the parables work. Some people read the parables and they try and find details in every little piece. And they look through the parable like this one, they might say, well, 5 oxen. What could 5 oxen? I mean, why 5? Why not 6? Why not 3? I mean, surely 5 must mean something. Well, in the Bible, well, there are 5 books of Moses, so that must have something. That's not how parables work. That's not how these stories work. These stories are told, and oftentimes they have a singular point, a single thing that they're focusing on, something that they're calling attention to. Part of it's paying attention to, why did Jesus tell the story? We go back to the beginning. Why did Jesus tell this story at this point? He said, because there was this one man at the start of the story. He said, oh, blessed is, you know, to sit at the kingdom. In other words, there's somebody sitting there assuming that they're all going to be sitting at the banquet table. And Jesus is saying, now it doesn't work like that. What he's saying is, there's an invitation issued. And the question is, will you respond to the invitation? Because the story isn't a story about a man having a banquet. The story, at another level, is a story about God. And that God issues an invitation. He said, here's an invitation. And the question is, how will we respond to that invitation? And how do some of the people respond? Well, I got other things to do. And if we read other parts in the Gospel of Luke, in fact, the story right after that that Luke tells. It says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus explained that following him isn't always easy, that there are choices to make. And so in this story, we have these people who make choices. They say, well, I know I've got the invitation, but I've got these other things that are standing in the way. I've got these other things to do. And what Jesus is saying is, God has issued an invitation to his banquet. God has issued an invitation to sit at the table with him. But he said a lot of people make excuses. A lot of people find reasons, and there are things that get in the way. And some of the things that get in the way, one guy's got a field, one guy's got some ox, one guy got married. The thing we discover is the things that often get in the way are good things. I mean, having a field, having a farm, those are good things. Getting married are all good things. But what we find is that good things often get in the way of following Jesus. There are bad things that get in the way too, but frequently it's the things that are good. And so we can find. And so what Jesus is saying to people, he said, what are those things that are standing in the way? Because God has issued an invitation. And if you don't, you have to accept the invitation. God gives this free gift to each and every person. But the question is, will you receive the invitation? Will you come party? Or will you let other things stand in the way? Will you let riches stand in the way? Will you look at the things of the world and say, well, yeah, I'd really love to follow Jesus, but if I follow Jesus, then I can't do this other thing. I'd really like to go to that banquet that you're talking about, Jesus, but see, I got my family, and there's all these other things that are going on. Well, Jesus, I'd really like to come to that banquet. That sounds so amazing that you're inviting me to spend all of eternity with you. But I got some more work I got to do because my retirement fund isn't quite where it's supposed to be. And so Jesus is issuing this invitation. He's saying, there's a challenge that stands in our way. And so one of the questions Jesus is posing to these people is this. He says, what are you going to let stand in the way? He's saying nothing should stand in the way. He's also saying, he says, don't assume just because you're in a certain category of people, because they all thought, well, we got invited. We got an invitation. Jesus is saying it's not enough just to get the invitation. You have to receive the invitation. And so it's a call for us to examine our lives and say, each one of us has received that invitation. Each one of us has been invited by God to join in this banquet. Each one of us has been invited to receive the eternal life that God has given us through Jesus Christ. You see, because God says, I want you all to come and sit at my table. I want you all to be with me in the new creation. I want you all to be a part of what I'm doing. And I've made a way for you through Jesus. And what I'm asking you to do is, will you receive that invitation? Will you say yes to Jesus? Will you say, I will put my trust in you? And when we receive that invitation, we come and we sit at the table. But Jesus is also saying, you know what, if you don't, there's a point in time in which the banquet doors will be closed. You can't just keep waiting and waiting. And so the question for us sitting here is, what will we do with the invitation? But the other question then is, as we look around to say, we have a role, and Jesus doesn't talk about this, is we have a role too to play, not unlike the servant in the story. And that's to invite others. That's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to go and invite others into the kingdom. And we come up with, and I know I come up with all kinds of excuses. Well, but what if I invite somebody and they laugh at me? What if I tell somebody about Jesus and they ask me a question and I don't know? What if I tell somebody about Jesus and you can fill in the blank of all the reasons we don't? But God is saying to us, there's this banquet and I want my house to be what? To be full. And this is God's desire to have a full house, to invite as many people in. And so our part in that is to invite people to come, to tell them the good news of Jesus. And there are lots of different ways we can do that. We've talked often about this acronym called BLESS, which we use as one way to think about it. BLESS is a simple way to remember, a way to share the good news of Jesus with people. So BLESS, each letter stands for something. So B begins, we begin with prayer. We begin by thinking about who are those people that we know in our lives, people that we have contact with, that run in our circles, that are parts of our family, parts of our friends, parts our co-workers, our schoolmates. Who are those people that we want to see sitting at the table in the kingdom of God? And you start by praying for them. You start by praying for yourself to share with them. Then L needs to listen, to hear their story. To be able to say, what's going on in your life? Tell me. Because you're looking to see where is God at work in their life and what's going on. So we listen. And for those of you who've been here for a while, part of listening is three magic words when we're listening. Three words you're allowed to say when you're listening. Does anybody know what those three words are? Tell me more. So that's the key to listening. It's not just, because sometimes when we're listening, we're not really listening. We're trying to find out what's going on. We want to get to our story. But listening is really known. So we're allowed to say three words. Tell me more. E, we've talked about today. Anybody guess what E stands for? Eating together. Right, eating together. What? Jesus had it figured out. We're like, when you say, oh, I'm going to have a party, I'm going to have a bunch of people over. People are like, well, the Christians don't have parties. Like, Jesus had parties all the time. And he invited people over. Well, but what will people think if you're hanging out with those people? People will think you're like Jesus, because that's exactly what happened to Jesus. He hung out with the wrong kind of people. He had the wrong kind of people at parties. In fact, right after this, anybody know what comes after chapter 14? Chapter 15, right. You guys are good. Chapter 15, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus hung out with people all the time. This is what he did. Why? Because eating together is just this amazing thing. You hang out and you get to know one another and there's no pressure. There's no thing. You just enjoy life together. And so eating together with people, it doesn't matter what you're eating or where you're eating. It doesn't have to be the finest banquet. It doesn't have to be all the right things. It can be just a simple meal. It can be a box of pizza from somewhere. It can be a frozen meal. It can be a fancy thing if that's your life. But you sit around and you eat together because there's something about eating together. There's something about enjoying and sitting together around food, and people begin to talk and you begin to hear the story. So you begin with prayer. You listen to them. You eat together. And then you serve them. You serve people and you say, you know, how can I show God's love? And then the last S is you share God's story with them. You share the story. And one of the best ways to do that isn't to sit down and say, okay, I know you want to hear about Jesus, so let me begin. Genesis chapter 1. You share your story of what God has done in your life. It's one of the best ways to tell the good news of Jesus. Sometimes we think, well, I got to learn these four laws or these three steps or I got to remember this acronym. The best way to share Jesus with somebody is to say, this is who I was before I met Jesus, and this is who I am now. This is how God has changed my life. This is what God is doing in my life right now. Because in today's world, that matters more than anything else. It's just the power of what works. I mean, it's how all advertising works. Look at ads for dieting. What do they always show in the diet picture ads? Before and after, right? Why? Because you think, well, that was what you're before. And if I do this and after. And it's the same thing with Jesus. We say, well, this was my before and this was my after picture. This is what it looked like now. And so the story that Jesus is telling about this invitation, this kingdom, is an invitation to us. But it's also an invitation to us to invite others to come. And it's also a reminder that the kingdom of God is a thing of joy. It's a party. And sometimes, especially for those who've been followers of Jesus for a long time, we lose that joy. It feels just like a drudgery, like, oh, Jesus stuff again. And so it's also a reminder that following God and God's invitation is this incredible celebration. So I guess I would invite you to consider, where are you today? Are you lacking that joy? If you've been invited to the kingdom and it just feels like drudgery. I invite you to recover the joy because God has done this amazing thing and he's invited people from east and west and north and south to come and sit at his table. God has welcomed all of us. And so help, ask God to help you recover that joy. Are you in the place where you've accepted the invitation and you're there and you're looking forward to that table, but you're looking around at your friends and your family, the people you know and you love? Find ways to invite them because the invitation isn't just for a few people. It's not a special, but it's an invitation to all. So find ways to invite them. Invite them to receive the goodness. Or maybe you're in the category of, you've got the invitation, but you're not sure. You're kind of waiting. You've got some excuses. You think, well, but I'm not so sure. I can't do that because if you're at that place, ask you, what's holding you back? What is holding you back right now? Because the invitation is there. The invitation is not going to be there. And the invitation is to life and to life eternal. This isn't just an invitation to say, hey, you know, God's got a couple boxes of Little Caesars and, you know, we're going to hang out. This is an invitation to be with God for all of eternity. And it's an invitation to life now, to be changed, to be transformed, to find joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and kindness and self-control, to find all those things in the kingdom of God. And the invitation is extended. So what's holding you back? If there's something holding you back, come and let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. What is that thing holding you back? And if there's nothing, if you can't figure out what that is, then I invite you to receive that invitation now. To receive Jesus and to allow him to come into your life and to change and to transform you. Say, God, I need you in my life. Jesus, I need you in my life. I can't do life without you. I want to be a part of your kingdom. And then you will be sitting at the table. So where are you? Are you looking for joy? Are you being called to invite others? Or are you waiting to decide to accept the invitation? Because God is calling, and the invitation is open to all to come and to sit at his table.